Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us this evening. It's Sunday, August 13th, 2023, and you can catch us here every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, USA. And also, we are grateful that Ray Powers has given us the opportunity to be here each and every week. And it's such a blessing, Ed, to be able to open the Word of God and share truth with people, just straight off the page of the Bible.
It's, you know, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but it's not just for the people listening. It's for us as well.
Absolutely. You know, every time we do this, I always come away uplifted.
Right.
And I learn something every week.
Right.
And I know people probably find that hard to believe, but it's true.
You may have read the words on the page several times, but all of a sudden something stands out, makes sense you hadn't seen before.
Absolutely. Yeah. And by doing these programs, it helps me to find text better in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Just the other week, I couldn't find something. I went to the wrong place.
Yeah.
And it makes me memorize things a little better, too. Mm-hmm. But tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, Ed.
We're just a small little ministry here in Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley. And we just have more of an online presence than actual physical presence mm-hmm. here in Stanton. We have a church. We have a Wednesday night meeting where we have a Bible study. Actually, I have time for prayer as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's available via Zoom if you're interested. And we have a church service on the Sabbath or Saturday, the seventh day of the week.
Yeah.
And we have a Bible study time at 9:30. And we have a worship hour at 11. Both those are streamed live, and the Bible study is also available via Zoom.
Okay.
And also, you record those, and you send them out to people that
I
are
do.
Interested.
Yeah, and you know, we do that because the stream is actually recorded, we do that for the sermons. And when you go to the
right.
website, you can find those sermons there.
Right.
And we send those to people if they've missed the study and they want a copy. They
yeah.
can get a copy. And also on Wednesday nights, while we don't record the prayer time because it's very personal,
right.
we do, with permission, we record the Zoom Bible studies, and people can have a part in learning and seeing the things that we're studying there.
Yeah, if they're not able to be there, or we have people that live in different parts of the world
mm-hmm.
that it's the middle of the night when we're doing the study, they get a copy of that.
Yeah. Technology is amazing, isn't
yeah.
it? So that's just a little bit about Prophecies of Hope. We do have a website, prophecyhope.com.
There's something happening in September.
Yes, there is. You know, we're in 2023. This is August of 2023, and we're having a Bible series, aren't we?
Yes.
That's the 20th through the 23rd. And on the 20th, 21st, and 22nd, those three nights will be at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We will be doing a Bible prophecy series.
Yes.
And
Daniel and Revelation.
Yes, Daniel and Revelation. And we're calling it Putting the Pieces Together.
Yeah.
Now, we have done series like this in the past, but this is going to be a little different because we're actually having a guest speaker, Jason Hovey. He's been on this radio program a couple of times in the past. We're going to try to get him back on the air
yeah.
with us. And he's going to be talking about Bible prophecy, and particularly Islam
yeah.
and Bible prophecy, and show how things of today related were foretold from the time of Daniel.
Right.
Which was, 2,600 years ago, 600 B.C., is when Daniel gave some of these prophecies. So it'll be interesting to see how those things line up with current events
mm-hmm.
and to see, really get an idea of where we are in the stream of time.
Right.
While nobody knows the day or the hour of Jesus coming, he gives us the season, so to speak.
Right. As in the days of Noah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so Noah had to be prepared. So we need to be prepared, friends.
Right.
We need to be prepared. So, by the way, Jason will be giving the Sabbath sermon that morning, which will be the first part of the part of his series. That'll be at 11 a.m. on that Sabbath morning. And then we haven't determined a time yet in the afternoon. I was thinking about that last night a little bit. And I was thinking maybe about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon might be a good time.
Yeah.
And we'll figure that out.
You know, some of that might depend on how many people we have here visiting us.
Right.
Which may encourage a lot of conversation, which may make it harder to get people together again.
That's true. That's true. And depending on, some people may have to leave at a particular time and they want to be here. So that's just a little bit about us. Remember the website, prophecyhope.com. If you want to reach me, you can find me. My email is mark@prophecyhope.com.
And I am ed@prophecyhope.com.
So there you go. If you can't remember our names, you can send a general email to office@prophecyhope.com. And give us a little time to reply. You know, we do have other things that we do, you know, and so it might take a day or two, and sometimes it might take up to a week, depending on how many emails we get that particular week. Is there anything else, Ed, that we need to talk about before we get started?
No, not that I can think of.
Well, we're going to begin in Romans, right, again. And why don't you have a prayer for us before we start?
Father in heaven, again, we're grateful to be able to open to your word, to learn more about your love for us, the plan of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. As we study these words in Romans chapter 8, we just humbly ask for wisdom and knowledge, give us understanding of these things, and to guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So where did we leave off last week, Ed?
Well, I think it would be good to read verses 18 through 21 to get us started.
Okay, today. Romans chapter 8. You know, before we read this, I want to encourage the people that are listening that, you know, if you have a Bible or an app on your phone, open and read along with us if you can. If you can do that, because sometimes you might catch something that we've missed, and you can send us an email and help us with understanding or to ask a question that will make us dig deeper.
Yes.
It's really good to do that. So Romans 8, are you reading or am I going to read this?
Let's have you read. But just to add to your comment, sometimes we learn a lot when we're asked questions that we didn't know before the question was asked.
This happens a lot on Wednesday nights when people ask questions during the Bible study and during Sabbath school on the weekends. Somebody will ask a question that we've never thought of, and now we have to dig deeper, and then we find that it enhances our understanding of God's Word.
Right.
So that's why we encourage you to do that. So Romans chapter 8, I'm reading from the New King James, 18 through 21, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
It says, and I believe this is Paul speaking. Yes. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God."
You know, do you think most people are experiencing the suffering in this world we live in today?
Absolutely.
Things you have no control over, whether it's health issues, relationships, financial, you know, whatever, or just plain violence in people's lives.
Yeah,
I think so many people are getting shot today.
It doesn't matter what country you live in.
Right.
You know, and particularly where we live in the United States, we like to think that it's relatively peaceful compared to the rest of the world, but we see things just coming apart.
Right.
Right here in cities and places that are not far from where we live. I mean, Washington, D.C., New York City, it's just, you know, you can drive to New York and 5.5 hours from here.
You know, I've learned over the last few weeks, delving into the drug issue in the United States is so prevalent. So many people are affected, all levels of society. It doesn't matter if you're a sheriff's son or daughter or a preacher's son or daughter or whoever. You can be affected by this. You can be involved in that. It's a terrible thing that's happening in the United States in particular. I'm not sure about the rest of the world, but wow.
Yeah, it is. It's a growing problem. And, you know, a lot of times when we think of drugs, we think of illegal drugs. But some of these problems are legal drug problems. In other words, the drugs are
prescription drugs.
Prescribed, right. Yeah. And people are abusing that. Yeah. And you know, because of the way this world seems to be going, even doctors are over-prescribing things sometimes just so that they don't have to deal with certain things.
Yeah.
So, when we read this, It is. We are, when I look around, Ed, I can see that the world is just coming apart. And if it wasn't for God's word, I wouldn't have the mindset. I couldn't be positive.
Right.
And so I wonder, how do people cope that don't know the word of God?
Right.
And I find that many of them don't.
You know, verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," and there are many, and are severe, and we interact with people that are going through some extreme stuff right now.
Absolutely.
As we're speaking. But they're not worthy to be compared with the coming glory to be revealed in us, what God's prepared for us. You know, we can experience some of that today through Christ living in us.
Yes. We talked about that last week. And that can be, that fruitage can be planted in us,
yes.
Can it?
It doesn't mean you're not going to have trials and temptations and sufferings, but that God will help you through these things. He has given us the presence of the Spirit of Christ in our hearts and minds.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, need for those is so important.
You may try to find that peace, that joy in your life through other things that the world tells you is what you need, but it will never be enough.
You're
always searching for something more. And that's how people get so cycled into this drug addiction. They start out with maybe just smoking pot or something, and they go deeper and deeper because after a while it doesn't meet their needs, so they find something else that's stronger and more dangerous to try to meet their needs, and it never does.
You know, Ed, I just want to go here for a moment, even though we've read it dozens of times, and we'll probably read it dozens and dozens more, Galatians 5.
Okay.
And this is so opposite the world. Verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." That's the first one listed. You know, we read in the Bible, God is love.
Right.
So I'm not saying that these are listed in any particular order, but I don't think it's by mistake that love is the first one. I really don't.
Right.
And this is something that's seriously lacking in the world, is love. Love for neighbor. And even love for self.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we lack that love for ourselves, we start to turn to other things.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is joy. Do you see a lack of joy in the world?
True joy.
Yeah. And then it says peace. There's really no peace in this world. And, you know, when we think about peace, I like to think of where we live in the United States. We live in a beautiful place.
Yes.
But I see around us that people are in turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
There's no peace in their life. But those who have Christ are experiencing peace to some degree.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, everybody goes through trials and difficulties and sometimes extremely severe.
Yeah.
But you have this hope that you know you have a daily relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You trust in their working in your lives. You put your faith in them helping you through these difficulties.
Right.
It's oftentimes not when you go through things, but when you look back, you can see the hand of God working in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah, in retrospect.
Yeah, and remember those things to encourage you in the future when you face other things in your life.
Amen. So the next one is long-suffering. I say, I've suffered long.
Yeah.
I think, but it's talking about learning how to deal with things, right? And then it says kindness. This is something that lacks in the world today.
Mm-hmm. Respect and kindness for each other.
Yeah. And then goodness. You know, Jesus said there's no one good but one.
That's God.
That's God. But if we have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us and He brings the Father, that brings us the goodness of God.
Yes.
And then if we experience that, how do we treat others?
Verse 19, all creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Mm.
The revealing, the showing through their lives.
Amen.
That God is with you, that God's working in your life.
Amen. The next one is faithfulness.
Yes.
Faithfulness. You know, there's such a lack of this, whether it's in, go ahead.
In relationships.
Yeah.
In government.
Yes.
In society in general. it's hard to trust people today because they may say one thing and do another.
Yeah. Even unfortunately, even among spouses and families, there's a lack of faithfulness a lot of times. The next one is gentleness. Gentleness. You know, it's hard when somebody has wronged you to be gentle, you know,
even in spiritual things.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've experienced people that come to our studies that seem to have the intention of disturbing things. Mm. And sometimes you want to beat them over the head with the Bible and say, why can't you see that? But it takes patience and long-suffering. If they're truly seeking, and if you keep turning them back to the Word of God, it will have an effect on them.
Yeah. You know, that leads to the next one, because the last one is self-control.
Yeah.
And it takes self-control sometimes just to not blurt out to somebody certain things. It takes self-control in relationships, too. You know, so manifesting these, you know, we talked about that last week. I mentioned how from my background, we talked about exercising the fruitage of the Spirit.
Yes.
And you talked about the exercises of physical therapy.
Right.
You know, and if you're not doing those things, if you're not doing the right things, you can hurt yourself.
Well, not only that, you're not going to experience the recovery that hopefully you came to the therapist for in the first place.
Right. So if I want to recover from this sinful world and I want to become more like Christ, manifesting these fruitages is so important.
And we need to understand that this only occurs through the presence of Christ in our life. We can't do this on our own. That's why we're in the position this world that the world is in.
Right.
Me, selfishness, hate, violence, you know, looking to things that will never make you happy to make you happy.
Right.
You know?
We live in a world where people want to teach that wrong is right,
yes,
and right is wrong, and you have to accept me, like you said, me.
Yeah.
You have to conform to what I want, and, you know, it doesn't matter what I want. It matters what God wants me to be.
If we could only understand and believe that God, who's our creator, who created everything through his son, Jesus Christ, really does know what's best for his creation.
Amen.
And if we would just follow his commandments or his will in our life, which are given for our best interest, for our joy, for our peace, for our salvation, if we could just understand and believe that, and then live it, what a different world we would live in.
Absolutely. It would. And this is why, if you truly accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you truly accept him as your Savior, and you truly ask him to come into your heart, it will change you.
Yes, it will.
And you'll find that those around you, if they think, you can experience the kingdom of God, in a sense, today.
The kingdom of God is within you, is what Jesus said.
That's what he said. So you can experience that peace
that
is beyond what we can imagine, even in this world.
And it doesn't mean you'll probably experience more once you accept Christ as your Savior than you did before, because the devil's going to attack us.
Amen. You know, there are, Ed, we know people that it seems sometimes pushes back.
Yes.
And we see, there are Bible accounts where we can see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the devil went after him. So really, when we get these trials, that we're considered one of God's children.
Yeah, Peter talks about that. It's hard to fathom how being persecuted, whether by Satan or people in the world, for your belief in the Son of God is a blessing. But in reality, it is. It puts us as a child of God, just as Jesus is the Son of God.
That's right. And this text that we just read, it says in verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God."
Right.
And then in verse 21, it says, "Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God."
Yeah.
I want to be a child of God.
You know, verse 20 says, "For the creation was not willingly subject to vanity, but because of him who subjected it on hope." hope. Let me read that from the Good News.
Okay.
Or actually God's Word version.
This
of the
is
Bible.
Romans
8, 20 and 21.
Okay.
Creation was subjected to frustration, but not by its own choice. The one who subjected it to frustration did so in the hope that it would also be set free from the slavery to decay in order to share the glorious freedom that the children of God will have.
Mm.
There's freedom in Christ.
Absolutely. There's two words that it uses here in the King James. One is in the New King James. One is bondage.
Yeah.
But that's used with the word corruption.
Right.
And then the other one is liberty. And that's used under children of God.
Yeah. You know, God's word talks about decay versus the word decorruption.
Right.
And in terms of liberty, it talks about glorious freedom.
Yes. So contrast the two. You know, I might, when if I want to live according to the flesh, I might be doing things that temporarily satisfy me.
But it corrupts your mind, it corrupts your body.
And others around you.
Yeah.
And what does it do? It makes it to where I will be corruptible to the point of eternal death.
Yeah.
And I lose that relationship. All the relationships that I have will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I become more like Christ, if I'm a child of God, then not only is the corruption gone, but it allows me an eternal relationship with the Father and His Son and those who are around me that live accordingly.
And this glorious freedom or liberty is to live life as God intended it to.
Yes, free from sin and death, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Imagine that. We often talk about being free from sin, but freed from death.
Yeah, death is such a... I don't want to use the term normally because God never intended death to be part of this world.
That's right.
But it's through the usual results of sin in this world that everyone is going to die at some point unless Christ comes again.
Right. If he comes in the meantime, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, and this is one of the reasons why we do ministry the way we do, friends, is because lives are at stake. Your life is at stake.
Yeah.
And the devil wants you to lose your life, and God and Christ want to give you eternal life.
You know, I was had a study with someone recently, and this person's going through a lot of really difficult stuff.
Mm.
And this person's prayer request is, Father, your kingdom come.
Mm.
Put an end to all this stuff.
Yeah. You know, that prayer is what Jesus prayed. He prayed that very same thing in the model prayer when he gave that. In fact, I'll just turn there quickly. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was teaching us to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his opening words. He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will. You notice Jesus didn't say our will.
Right, or my will.
Or my will, yeah. He said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in this prayer, he's praying for what Adam and Eve were originally given but lost.
Right.
And he's saying, let's pray for this to be restored.
Yes.
But in order to do that, this problem of sin has to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. And we're living, I believe, Ed, that we're living toward the end of this whole series of events that has been taking place.
You know, often people that don't believe in God or are angry at God for whatever reason blame God for everything that's happening on this earth. But I hope people can see that God has given everyone the freedom of choice.
Yeah.
And our choices in this world is what has created this world the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
When we choose not to follow God, when we choose not to follow His commandments and how we treat each other or how we live our lives, what we do with our bodies, it produces what we're experiencing now when we follow Satan's temptations versus the will of God in our lives.
Sure.
God is just allowing you to see the results of what sin is.
That's it. So that you can make a choice.
An educated choice.
That's the key word, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when the world is so different now than when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in school, I may have said this on here before, but when I was in school, I'll never forget it. I was in high school. I was in the 10th grade. And a sophomore, my same year I was in, got pregnant. She was kicked out of school because she got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared that with a fellow that I worked with, a young fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, wow, he said, I graduated, I graduated in 1984.
Okay.
He graduated in 1999. So what's that, 15 years later? 15 years later. And when I told him, one girl got pregnant and she was kicked out. And the boy also, once they found out who it was. Mm-hmm. And he said, when I was in school, that would have been more than half of the class.
Wow.
And they have accepted it. So, and look, the point is, there's the sense of morality has declined. Go ahead, Ed. You were going to say something.
We need to look at it. You know, it's obviously breaking God's law.
Yes.
Do not commit fornication.
Right.
No matter your age, whatever the circumstances. But look at the consequences that happen to all these young folks.
Yes. Children having children.
Or having to go through abortion, which is killing a child.
It is. It's murder.
There's consequences for those decisions, whether you like it or not.
Right.
They happen.
Right.
So wouldn't it be better just to be obedient to God's word?
Yeah.
To not have to experience those things, those difficult times financially, biologically to the woman, you know, who's bearing this child.
Sure.
The responsibility of raising a child or having a child is tremendous.
It is.
You're responsible for that life, for their well-being, for their education, for bringing them up in a godly manner.
Right. And, you know, that's the point that I was making is that, look, in this world that we live in, people are going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And many times the parents end up raising, or the parents of the pregnant child end up raising the other child. So you've turned their life around too.
Right.
Now, of course, they love that baby,
mm-hmm.
and that child can live a good and healthy life. But living according to God's laws, wait until you're older. Wait until you're married,
Then
have a family. But today we have people forced into this because they're not living a life according to what God says.
Right.
And that changes the whole morale of the world, and it makes things that are unacceptable. Now it's normal.
Right.
It's normal. Things that were wrong many years ago, are they not wrong anymore?
Right.
No, we've become calloused.
God's word hasn't changed. His commandments haven't changed. It's just the world is trying to change what is acceptable.
Yes,
no.
They are. And that can have an erosion process even on the child of God. We have to be careful living in this world. And, you know, this is the thing I love about Paul and his writings. He understands these things. He gets it. And he understands that it's a constant struggle. There's a constant battle between good and evil.
Why don't we continue on in Romans 8? Let's go ahead and continue at verse 22. And maybe go through 25.
You want me to read that?
Yes, go ahead, please.
It says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance."
Verse 23. but ourselves also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, awaiting adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Let me read a couple of different versions of the Bible that might help give understanding. This is the Good News Bible. It says, but it's not just creation alone which groans. We who have the Spirit as the first of God's gifts also groan within ourselves as we wait for God to make us his children and set our whole being free. The easy-to-read version. Not only the world, but we also have been waiting with pain inside us. We have the Spirit as the first part of God's promise, so we are waiting for God to finish making us his own children. I mean, we are waiting for our bodies to be made free.
Wow.
The glorification of our bodies, this more mortal shall put on immortality.
That's right. That's
the coming
in
1 Corinthians. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, let's take a look at that.
All right.
Just because, you know, we haven't looked at that in a while. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Right. You know, it's saying in Romans 8:23, even though we receive the fruit of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, which produces the fruit of the Spirit in us, we still are in difficulty in this earth. We're still waiting for the redemption of our body, waiting for that full adoption.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, that's the thing. We are adopted sons and daughters of God if we accept Christ.
Yeah.
But the face-to-face relationship, being able to be with our Heavenly Father and His Son, comes at a future time.
Yes.
Right? And that's what we see here in 1 Corinthians where you read about this.
And that's really the restoration of what was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve.
Yes.
And God.
So just to put this into perspective, and, you know, Ed, I think I like this because this was so new to me. Coming from even a Christian background, but I believe something completely different. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they immediately knew something was wrong.
Right.
They felt naked.
Right.
Right. And they, what did they do?
They tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves.
Yeah.
But God came to them in the cool of the evening to interact with them, to further his relationship with them, and they hid from him.
Out of shame.
Yeah.
And guilt.
Because even though they were covered with fig leaves, they still felt naked.
Yes. And that change, it wasn't something that happened gradually.
Right.
They were instantly, they went from being righteous human beings to being unrighteous
right.
and
they
sinners.
They lost that righteousness of God that was covering them because of their disobedience.
That's right.
Which is sin. That's what sin is.
It is. So God makes a promise that if we accept Christ Jesus, He's going to reverse that.
Right. So as part of that promise, what did he do at that moment in time when they felt naked?
He actually, it says that he made garments of skin for them.
Of animal skins.
Yeah. That's the only place, that's where skin comes from.
Right.
So what does that represent, Ed?
Well, does the skin come from a live animal or a dead animal?
Well, you have to kill the animal, right? Yeah.
So this was the beginning of the sacrificial system. This represented the righteousness of Christ that would come from his sacrifice on the cross that was yet to come at that time.
So he was showing Adam and Eve in the garden the plan of salvation.
Yes, and that's the reason they didn't die that day.
That's
because
beautiful.
Of that promise of a coming Savior in Jesus Christ.
And that they would be, if they accepted that, they would be clothed once again by God with the righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
Right?
By faith.
By faith. And that they too could have, once again, they could gain eternal life.
Yes.
By faith in what God had provided.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we see. We see that process take place as we read through the Gospels, as we read through the Bible. And then here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is beautiful because it says in verse 50, now this I say, brethren, this is the same writer that wrote Romans. Mm-hmm. This is Paul. And he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. So he's contrasting the flesh and blood with, he's saying that the flesh and blood is corruption, that the kingdom of God is incorruption.
Yes.
So as a sinful being, if I continue to live the way that I am, I can't inherit the kingdom.
Right.
This is what Paul's saying in Romans 8 and 5 through 8, right? And so he's saying we have to be changed. And I have to be changed now, internally. Right? So when he says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption, this flesh and blood, inherit incorruption, the kingdom of God. But it doesn't stop there, Ed. It says in verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet.
Tells us when it's going to happen.
Yeah. Has that happened yet?
No.
No. This is talking about the literal change, the physical change, right? It says, at the last trumpet, for the dead will be raised. I'm sorry. It says, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we, that's the living, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But it doesn't stop there, does it?
No, keep going, yeah.
It says, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
So in Romans 8, this is what Paul's talking about, the redemption of our body.
Yes.
This is the time he's looking forward to. You know, I want to talk a little bit about 1 Corinthians 15:51.
Okay.
You know, most churches have a mother's room, right, where mothers can take their children and take care of them, nurse them, or feed them, or change them. Or
we even have one at Prophecies of Hope.
Yeah. So one of the churches that I attended had this sign on the mother's room. They were quoting 1 Corinthians 51. It says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
That was on the mother's room. Yep, that's so true. Yeah.
I want to take us to Philippians chapter 3. Again, talking about the redemption of our body. And read verses 20 and 21.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm still laughing.
Philippians 3, 20 and 21.
All right.
It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we are looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our body of humiliation so that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working of his power, even to subdue all things to himself. We're going to be changed in the likeness of the glorious body of Jesus Christ.
But there's a process to this.
Yes.
In order to be changed physically, we must be first changed spiritually.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I have to accept that this will happen. I have to believe it. I have to know Christ. And we were talking about the fruitage of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Before that fruitage of the Spirit, it shows all of the things that I must lay down. Doesn't it?
Yes.
In Galatians. Look, do you mind if we look at that?
No, let's go ahead and
because
do that.
This is so important, friends, and these are things that I'm going to tell you. We all fall into this category somehow. Mm-hmm. Every one of us, and maybe only one thing, but you know, let's just talk about that for a moment. Right. It says here in Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And we've talked about that.
Yes.
What does that mean?
If you're led by the Spirit, you're going to be doing the fruitage of the Spirit, which there's no law against doing those things.
That's right. He says that, doesn't he, as we read through. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. And I'm not saying that every one of us have done every one of these things, but do a self-examination as we read each one of these.
Yes.
It says, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah. As I was reading that, I was thinking, wow, there's more than just one for me.
Yeah.
There's a number of them that I've been terribly guilty of. And as I've come to know Christ, I find that some of them have fallen away.
Mm-hmm.
They've fallen to the wayside. But I'm going to tell you, I still have outbursts of wrath sometimes. Mm. I get mad.
Yeah.
I get angry. Maybe sometimes I want to think that it's justified.
Right.
But there are times that it may not be.
That through the Spirit, patience and long-suffering.
Yeah. Self-control.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I'm just looking, just doing a self-examination here. I've been jealous at times.
But you know, Mark, when I look at all these things, is there any hope for me there?
Well, yeah, there sure is. You know, that's why he's showing us this. He says, look, this is, in fact, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Because I can't overcome these things by myself.
That's right. We can't. And let's go back, because the same writer in 1 Corinthians 6.
Right.
Can you read this?
Sure.
1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to start in verse 9 and read through
11?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very important that we read verse 11.
All right. Verse 9. This is the modern King James Version. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor abusers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed.
Mm.
You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. See, this is the hope that God gives us through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus came to this earth, lived the life, experienced the things that we experienced, was tempted in all ways like we were, yet did not sin.
Amen.
Because he trusted in God's will for his life and followed the commands of his Father.
Yeah, so you notice it, and I'm glad you emphasized, some of you were,
yeah.
Right? Such were some of you.
But not only did he die to bear the penalty of our sins, but God sent the Spirit of Christ into our hearts to help us overcome sin in our lives.
And that's how we're washed.
Yes.
That's how we're sanctified.
Yes.
We're justified by his death, but we're sanctified by his
life. That he wants to live within you and me.
Yeah. And I don't think we can stress this enough. I really don't think this can be talked about enough.
Yes.
Because in this world that we live in, so many people feel helpless and hopeless. And the world is designed in such a way that once you get in that downward spiral, you just kind of feed on it. But Christ wants to lift you up. He wants to lift you up. He doesn't want you down. He wants you up, and he wants to dwell in you. So if we're doing these things, have that prayer. Ask Christ into your heart. Ask him, pray and ask him to help you to overcome whatever it is,
yes,
that might separate you from the love of God and Christ. Right?
Yes.
Pray that prayer. I mean, we open and close with prayer every time we have a Bible study,
yes,
here on the air. Don't make that the only time you pray, friends. Pray daily. Pray often.
Prayer is talking to God as you talk to a friend.
Absolutely.
Be honest with him.
Yeah. He knows everything anyway.
Yes.
So.
And maybe being honest with him will help you be honest with yourself.
That's so true. Once you say it, it becomes very real to you, doesn't it?
And realize the love he has for you and what he wants to help you in your difficulties and your problems. And through the power of His Son, His Spirit of Christ living in us, we can have a change in our life.
Mm.
You know, you were talking about hope.
Mm-hmm.
When we go back to Romans 8:20, it says, "For the creation was not willingly subject to vanity." What does your Bible say?
Let's see. Mine says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, okay, not willing.
But because of Him who subjected it on hope, that the creation itself should also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." I'm going to concentrate on that word, hope.
Okay.
Our hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is our hope. I want to look at some notes I have further down. I want to go to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9.
Okay.
So, Mark, if you could look that up.
Sure.
And see what it says.
Okay. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9.
Yes.
It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul."
Our faith and hope is in Christ. I want to read a text from 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm just going to be reading verses 1 to 2. This is Paul's greeting to his fellow worker, Timothy.
Okay.
It says in verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the commandment of our God, our Savior, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. To Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." He's telling him, God is our Savior. He's the one that sent His Son,
right,
to be the Savior of the world. And our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can you look up Titus chapter 2?
Sure.
We don't go to Titus very often, do we?
No, we don't. It's right after 2 Timothy, and yeah, it's a little tiny book.
Can you read verses 13 and 14?
Of chapter
2.
Chapter 2. You did say that, didn't you? All right. Titus 2, 13 and 14. It says, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior." I think in the King James it says, "of our great God and of our Savior,"
yes,
"Jesus Christ."
Yes.
The New King James changes that. Yeah. And verse 14 says, "who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works."
That blessed hope through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeems us from all iniquity or all sin, and purifies unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This is the change that occurs in people that have a relationship with Christ and His Father.
That's right.
It's a change from living a life in sin to being zealous of good works.
Yes. And, you know, we talked about this weeks ago in Romans, dying to self, dying to those things that I inherently,
yes,
want to do. And leaving those things behind.
You know, I almost missed this when I was working on my notes the other night. Hope. You know, subject and on hope. I almost missed Colossians chapter 1.
Okay. Let's go there.
And if you could read verses 25 through 29.
Okay, sure.
Colossians 1.
Colossians 1, beginning with verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
It says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily.
Again, you know, our hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is the message that Paul preached. This is the gospel that he received, the gospel message he received from Jesus Christ himself.
He did. Absolutely.
We read about that in Acts a few months ago.
We did. We absolutely did. So, you know, when we think about so many people, when they think about hope, I think they think about something that, well, you kind of wish for it, but it may never come true.
Right.
But if we have hope in Christ Jesus, and we believe in Christ, and we have faith in Christ, this hope will become a reality.
Yes.
It'll become a reality. And, you know, this ministry is called Prophecies of Hope.
Yes.
Because all of these prophecies in the Bible are pointing to who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he is our hope. And so all of the things from the very, we touched on it today, the very first prophecy in the Bible when God made that sacrifice in the garden, Genesis 3:15,
yes.
The first prophecy is pointing to the hope that God has given to all of humanity.
That's what God gave Adam and Eve, hope.
Yes. Absolutely.
Let me read about hope in Romans 8.
Okay.
I want to read verses 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what anyone sees, why does he also hope for it? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then we wait for it with patience.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of like faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, yet evidence not seen.
Yes.
That's what faith and hope are. Faith in the promises of God's word. Even though we may not physically be able to touch it or visually be able to see it,
mm-hmm.
but believe it because God has promised it.
And let me say this. The hope that we have of living eternally with our Lord Jesus and his Father, right now I can't physically see Jesus, nor can I physically touch him.
Right.
But we will.
One day.
Yeah. Every eye will see him coming in the clouds,
right?
And we will be with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the promise.
Don't you enjoy being with people that love you?
Absolutely.
Who has loved you more than God and his Son, Jesus Christ?
No one. No one. Not even your parents.
Right.
Not even your parents. And that's, you know, if you've had a close upbringing, that's hard to imagine. If you are a parent, how much do you love your child?
Mm-hmm.
To think that God loves you more than that.
Yeah.
And that his Son loves you more than that. It's pretty amazing.
Right. Okay, let's, do we have enough time to continue?
We have a few more minutes. We have about 3 or 4 minutes.
All right, let's just read verses 26 through 28 of Romans 8. Can you read that for us, please?
Sure. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts shows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Is that where you want to be?
Yeah. Stop? We know that all things work together for good
mm-hmm.
to those that love God.
Yeah.
You know, that's where faith and trust come in, because the things we experience in life are difficult at times.
Yes.
We can't see how this can turn out well.
Mm.
How can this turn out well? It's so bad. It's so happening. I'm so out of control of anything that's happening to me. How can this turn out well? But it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Mm. Let's continue in verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, for him to be firstborn among many brothers, by whom he predestined, that he also called, and whom he called, those he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Mm. It's that process of salvation.
Amen.
God is working things out in your life according to his good purposes for your salvation. Mm.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, Ed, we're just about out of time. And where I'd like to pick up when we're back in the studio again, I want to pick up here where it says in verse 26, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Yes. I think this is important that we talk about that.
We may need to spend a little bit of time on this.
Yeah, I think it would be good to do that because I think that we've all been there. Mm-hmm. And I have a little experience that happened to me just this week.
Right.
And I think it would be something that I could share. But, you know, friends, I'm going to be away next Sunday. So, and I don't know if we'll be able to pre-record something yet or not. And hopefully we can. If not, we'll have a program for you one way or another. Right. But we'll be back in the studio in 2 weeks for sure, Lord willing.
All right.
And Ed, thank you so much for this study. Let's close with a word of prayer.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we're grateful for the gift that you've given us in him. We're thankful for this time that we can open your word and just read and know that you are there for us and that you will change us if we're willing to be changed. Father, I ask for a special blessing upon those who are tuning in. Please be with them through the coming weeks. And Father, just encourage them to be able to open their Bibles and to know you and your Son and the love that you both have for us. So Father, guide and direct us, we ask, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So friends, we hope you'll tune in again next week. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.